Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, I, for one, am really glad that Thursday Night Football did not end with a brawl. The brawl of the century, too. I'm really thankful that that's not what we're talking about. It was a bit surreal as I was pulling out my note cards and starting to take notes on tonight's Thursday Night Football game, the one that kicks off week 12. And I came across my notes from last weekend, last Thursday night, actually, and realized I never even finished them. I had taken notes through the first three quarters of Steelers and Browns, and I was waiting to see, as you remember, the game was not close in the end. Oh, it was close, but the Steelers were, they were throwing too many interceptions. And so I was just waiting until the game was over to write down some final stats. And then that brawl happened with 8 seconds to go, and I never finished writing down the stats because we didn't talk about them other than those final 8 seconds and the four interceptions and the different potential suspensions. Those are really the only numbers that we went over in 4 hours last weekend. We barely did anything else. I remember before the show, I asked Chris and Dave, what if I ask you how much of the show we end up dedicating to the brawl? What would you say? And I think Chris's answer was 83%, something along those lines. I said, hey, I'm the old grizzled veteran. Trust me, take the over. And we did spend 4 hours on that 8 second brawl. I knew the Texans and the Colts did not have it in them, and I'm so glad. We got a good game. We got a game that had a fourth quarter ending that didn't really fit the first three quarters, but that's football, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Final show of the week. In fact, final show before the weekend, before Thanksgiving. Am I the only one who has a hard time believing it's the last weekend before Thanksgiving? How did we get here? Week 12. Oh, and by the way, don't shoot the messenger. I'm not even a meteorologist, so don't shoot them either. It's not their fault. I heard that next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, crazy weather patterns. Lots of snow in parts of the West, the upper Midwest, and then rain, thunderstorms in parts of the South. Oh my goodness, it could be bad. So check your weather forecast as you're making your travel plans. I will be traveling like the rest of you on Wednesday. I don't know how many of you are leaving Tuesday. Seems to be the thing in big time cities. So major metros around the country, people want to get out of town. So they leave on Tuesday and take Wednesday off. Would you believe my mom has the entire week off? What? I had to ask her twice about that today. She only has a half day tomorrow, and then she has all of next week off. She's a teacher, and her school is out all of next week. What? How is that fair? So she's going on vacation. Yeah, well, she is pumped. I'm pumped for her. Do I sound like it? Yes, I am, but I'm a little bit jealous. Anyway, she's going to be on an island for the week. I'm not telling you which island. Anyway, I know a lot of you have got big time travel and vacation plans, and I will be among the masses hitting the road, but not till Wednesday. We've got shows until then. Of course, I wouldn't miss coming back after an NFL weekend. As you know, there are some really incredible matchups on the schedule. At least I hope they're incredible on the field, but on paper, awesome. So we're going to put up our poll like we always do about the game of the weekend that you're most looking forward to. And We'll see. We're going to debate it internally, whether or not we put Ohio State, Penn State in there. Because I remember the last time we stuck a college game in, it was Bama, LSU, and 50% of you said Alabama, LSU. And so we've got games in division, of course. We're into our final 6 weeks of the regular season. So a ton of games in division, like Panthers at Saints. Will the Saints take care of business like they did against the Bucs on the road last weekend? Or will they stub their toes collectively like they did against the Falcons the week before that? Seahawks, Eagles. Looking forward to that one. The Eagles need to get off the schneid. They're now back to 500 again. Of course, we haven't seen the Seahawks since their Monday nighter against the San Francisco 49ers. That was fantastic. Wait, was that a Sunday or a Monday? It was a Monday, right? Sunday? I don't even know. The days all blend together, but really, does that matter? If I got it wrong, I guess you can send me a strongly worded tweet. We also have Cowboys, Patriots this weekend, and then Sunday night football, Packers and Niners. Wait till you hear the bit of foreshadowing from Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure it wasn't lost on you Packers fans. He thinks there's going to be more than one of these games. And then wrapping up Monday Night Football before the mass exodus and travel plans commence, all except for my mom, who will be on the road Saturday. Ravens and Rams, another really good test for both these teams. Has Los Angeles turned a corner? Can the Ravens continue playing well on the road? They're 4-1 away from Baltimore this season. So that's just a taste of what we have coming this weekend. We started with Thursday Night Football inside a division. Two teams tied atop the AFC South, and it was a good one. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Looking forward to hearing from you. What's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend? And then also my Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got James along with us. Chris is sick. I don't know what happens to him, but it wasn't me because I'm not sick. Dave's not sick. I don't know what's going on. Maybe Chris has a lady friend, and that's why he keeps getting sick. I mean, he did mention a kind of lady friend the last time this sort of came up, but he gets all red-faced, and so we don't really want to put him on the spot. Well, I like to put him on the spot, but then I feel bad. So I didn't put him on the spot, but he's not with us. Instead, James, have you worked on our show before, James?
It's been a while.
Oh, it's been a while. Is that why I don't remember you?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I remember you. Except I thought it was the other James. Wasn't there a James working right before you? Yeah, so I asked Dave when he came into the studio to hand me the paperwork. Wait, why is he still in the control room? I thought it was the other James. So, hello.
Nice to be here.
See, we're going to have fun, our last show of the work week. It's one of the benefits of working overnight as we start the weekends early. Boom! Okay, so let's talk football, shall we? And then we'll get to some of the reaction as well as your phone calls. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The Colts were really effective in the run game. Even without Marlon Mack, they had 175 yards rushing. Another 100-plus for Jonathan Williams, who, of course, was over the century mark a week ago. Powerful offensive line performance. They win the time of possession battle against the Texans, and this is on the road in Houston. They go 9 of 15 on third down. But in the fourth quarter, Texans kind of beat them at their own game because they limited the touches for the Colts in the fourth, only allowing two drives, and of course giving up no points in that final quarter. The big moment comes with exactly 3 minutes to go on Thursday Night Football. So forget the 8 seconds in the brawl. This was a much bigger deal.
Brissett puts the leg down. Here's the snap. Brissett with a little time. Scrambles out to the right. Brissett stepping up. He's got too much time. He's running for it. And Brissett is down. Short of the first down at the 40-yard line. Brennan Scarlett brings him down. Brissett almost got there, but not enough. And the Texans take over on downs. Huge play for this defense.
Mark Vandermeer can't underscore that enough. And you hear the crowd responding as the defense gets to walk off the field. Houston stops the Colts on a 4th-and-7. Should be no surprise that Frank Reich went for it on 4th-and-7. Absolutely not. 3 minutes to go in this game. and Indy at that point trailing by just the handful of points, the 3 points, and trying to continue that drive. And so this was a huge deal because the Colts had been able to run the ball at will for most of the game. So what changed in the fourth quarter? We'll ask John McClain when he joins us from Houston coming up in 25 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. It was a good back and forth in the third quarter. These two teams tied at 10 at halftime. And then Indianapolis takes the lead with the type of drive you should expect from the Colts from now until, well, at least the rest of the season. I don't know, eternity. A healthy T.Y. Hilton certainly changes things for the Colts offense. But because he was not able to go the entire game, because he was hurting, he was out there trying to play as much as he could. It reminded me of Amari Cooper. Cooper has kind of gutted it out with the Cowboys when he can, but he's also banged up and hurting. So instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, the Colts just go with the run game. 10 of 11 plays on this 11-play drive. 10 of 11 are run plays, handoffs. Jacoby Brissett managing the game. And the Colts doing the whole 3 yards in a cloud of dust business. And so the Colts take the lead with a touchdown late in the third quarter, and Houston has to respond. You remember against the Ravens last week, Deshaun Watson was under fire. Was it 6 sacks, 7 sacks? He was constantly getting hit. But when you give him time to throw, when the offensive line stands up, is able to, if not dominate in the trenches, at least hold its own in the trenches, you get 30-yard chunk plays like Carlos Hyde, finding a hole, finding a seam, going straight up the middle, putting the Houston Texans in good position then. But also with the threat of Carlos Hyde, what happens? You give Deshaun Watson time to throw, and he's got now DeAndre Hopkins as well as Will Fuller back on the field.
Dropping back the pass is Watson. Lofts it to the near side for Hopkins. He's got it! Touchdown, Texans! 33 yards. Second touchdown reception of the night for DeAndre Hopkins. He beat Pierre Desir. The Texans go back on top 19-17.
Tom McCarthy on Westwood One. That is the perfect prototype for the Houston offense. 86-yard drive. They want to use the run game, of course. Carlos Hyde breaks free for 30. And then because Watson has time to throw, because he's got two receivers, so when Will is on the field, defenders can't clump around DeAndre Hopkins. He's got options. And with a little bit of time to throw, Watson is fantastic. We know this. And so the Texans take over first place in the AFC South. They move to 7-4. And this was a big deal for them, of course, because it's in division.
No, it's definitely great, especially a divisional win to take the lead in the South. But it's a lot more football to play. But definitely every win in this lead is very tough, especially coming off a short week against a great team, disciplined, fundamentally sound, hard-nosed team. And to come in and take care of business and fight 60 minutes is great.
Guys came in here on Monday to turn the page, and we're very focused and very tough game. You know, very difficult game to win. I thought the guys really were focused this week, and it showed up on the field.
So not fantastic stats. You're not going to write home about these stats unless, of course, you're Will Fuller or DeAndre Hopkins. Both had great games. Fuller, 140 yards on 7 catches. Hopkins, nearly 100 yards. 2 touchdowns, 1 game ball for his mama, another game ball for another family member. And as much as the Texans are so inconsistent, and man, if I'm a Texans fan, the way they start games drives me bonkers. Remember last week they were scoreless after the first quarter against the Ravens. This week, scoreless after the first quarter against the Colts. And while they did find some offense in the second quarter, sometimes by not taking advantage of that first quarter or starting hot, especially in your own stadium, makes the challenge that much more difficult. Colts fall to 6-5. We'll get some reaction from their locker room as well. But we're off and running week 12 Week 12 in the NFL. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty, peeps. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, go ahead, lay it on us. What's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend? And we'll get to your calls as well. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Second down. Watson gets the snap and he airs it out deep down the left side. Wants DeAndre Hopkins and Newt makes the catch for another touchdown. The Texans retake the lead.
It's one game at a time for us. That's our mindset. But obviously we had some bumps in the roads. I feel like that made us a stronger team. Last week getting blew out by Baltimore, the mindset was coming in and, you know, must win. And that's the mindset going forward. And I feel like every good team has that bump in the road to kind of change the season around. And hopefully that's what that was for us.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
DeAndre Hopkins says every good team has a bump in the road. I feel like that's what this was for us. The game against Baltimore, maybe a turning point, a springboard now to moving forward. The final 6 weeks of the regular season. And they've got themselves a game lead over the Colts. Though, of course, they've got Patriots looming, which is one thing I'll talk about when it comes to John McClain, who's going to join us about after the update, so inside of 15 minutes from now, from Houston following Thursday Night Football. Mark Vandermeer is the play-by-play voice on the Texans radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Obviously, the Colts want to be a run team. We know that they have the ability, even without Marlon Mack, to get roughly 200 yards on the ground. In fact, last week it was 264, I think was the number for the Colts with the run game. But they also need the threat of a passing attack, and that's typically where T.Y. Hilton comes in. The problem is that he's not fully healthy.
He was on a pitch count. You know, they had pretty much told me 20 to 30 snaps would be, you know, kind of the recommended snap count for him. So he was feeling a little bit tight. From what I understand. So we had to be smart about it. But he was willing to go in there. I give him credit. You know, I give him credit. He wanted to be on the field. Some of it was just as a decoy, you know, to hopefully they would roll the coverage to him or do something like that and give us a chance to run it a little bit better. So that was part of the plan.
I got to make that. That's what I get paid for. I got to make it. I let my team down today. 100% on me. I get better.
T.Y. Hilton taking responsibility despite his head coach saying he's on a pitch count and half the time he was out there as a decoy. The one moment that I'm sure he would like to have back, it came so late in the game, fourth quarter, and instead of running the ball on third and four where the Colts had had a lot of success, they try a deep pass to T.Y. Hilton. And while Jonathan Joseph, who's the veteran member of the Texans secondary, while Joseph got a finger kind of in between T.Y.'s extended arms, it didn't appear on the slow-mo replay that he actually connected with the football. What he did is kind of disturb Hilton in his catching motion. But even as Hilton turns, the ball goes through his hands. It would have been a fantastic catch, but we know he is absolutely capable of making those. And so that one is certainly the one that he's frustrated about. Again, it was deep. It was down the sidelines. At this point, the Colts are trailing by three, but instead of picking up the fourth down, they have to punt, and they only get one more possession with the football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Same as T.Y. Hilton and his talent opens up the Colts offense. That's what you see with DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller. Now, both these guys are extremely capable. Fuller's been injured. In fact, at one point, after making a big catch in this game, he grabbed his hamstring and he kind of wondered, is this going to be another point at which he has to sit out for an extended period of time? When you've got them both out there, it just means the defense can't tighten up on one or the other. And it obviously gives Watson options when it comes to calling the plays.
You know, just kind of give our receivers a chance to win. And that's what I did a couple of times. And a couple of times I missed them. But, you know, the times we did capitalize on those, I was able to put enough air on the ball and and let our guys, you know, make plays. And that's what they get paid to do. That's what they love to do. And, you know, just give them a chance, and most likely they're going to come down with it.
So it was a big win. You have to gut it out. It has to be gritty. Sometimes it's ugly. It's really hard-nosed, kind of blue-collar football for the Texans anyway. And, of course, they're missing J.J. Watt, and so that's also a big minus from their run-stuffing game or even their pass rush. But he just takes up so much space. Space eater. That's what I like to call the big men in the middle of the paint for basketball games. Well, J.J. Watt's a space eater. Also, good footwork. And it's great to see him on the field smiling. I don't know if you guys saw the video. I don't remember who put it on Twitter, but it was about a 30-second video of Watt on the field pregame, hanging out, having a couple laughs with Justin Verlander and Kate Upton. And, of course, the focus was Kate Upton. I think it might have been the NFL. I don't remember who tweeted it, but it was something about Kate Upton hanging out with two fans. Anyway, so we are off and running now to week number 12, as I mentioned. And for the Houston Texans, it's fantastic that they've got this extra time off. And boy, doesn't it feel so much better when you scrape and fight and scratch and claw for a victory on a Thursday, as much as so many of these players abhor Thursdays. Now, there are some guys that will tell you they love the opportunity to play on national TV, to have the stage to themselves, especially younger guys who haven't had a whole lot of that in their careers. But the best thing, the best feeling is when you win that Thursday night game, you're already home, you don't have to travel, and then you've got the weekend off. I mean, that's awesome for the Texans. As much as that game against the Ravens was embarrassing, as much as, you know, that they had to move on from that quickly, maybe more quickly than they wanted to, it turned out to be the best tonic. And so here's what's coming up for the Texans the following 5 weeks. That's it. We're down to 5 weeks for the Texans. The Patriots, and that's a game at NRG Stadium, so they get the Patriots in Houston. Then they've got the Broncos in Houston, so three consecutive games for them on their own field. They finish up at Tennessee, at Tampa Bay, and then another game with Tennessee. Winnable games on the schedule. It should be a really good clash against the Patriots, though the Texans' history against New England is not good. But Broncos, a losing record. Titans, twice on their schedule. Both those games should be winnable for them. The Titans put up a fight, but they're right now at 500. Those are divisional games, obviously. And then on the road at Tampa Bay, another team with a losing record. So everything the Texans want is right there in front of them. All right, coming up, we're going to spend a couple of minutes with one of our favorites, John McClain, who covers the NFL, covers the Texans, has been doing it for decades. In fact, before they were the Texans, he's been covering football in Houston, and he'll join us. And then we're going to get to your calls, too. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, getting a head start. What's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend, whether it's college, whether it's the pros? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Brissett puts the leg down. Here's the snap. Brissett with a little time. Scrambles out to the right. Brissett stepping up. He's got too much time. He's running for it. And Brissett is down. Short of the first down at the 40-yard line. Brennan Scarlett brings him down. Brissett almost got there, but not enough. And the Texans take over on downs. Huge play for this defense.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What a moment with the game hanging in the balance. A 4th and 7 stop with exactly 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Texans able to run out the clock and get this huge divisional victory at NRG Stadium. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Can't believe we're 1 week to wait Thanksgiving. We're going to get to your calls on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. But for the next few minutes, we're pleased to welcome John McClain, who's covered the NFL and the Houston Texans for years and years, even before they were the Houston Texans. John, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Early on, the Colts were really effective in their run game. They were dominating with the O-line in the trenches. They were winning that time of possession battle, and they had the lead. And then we get to the fourth quarter. What changed late in the game?
Amy, it was very strange. They came out in the third quarter. Texans didn't get fourth down, and so the Colts ran on 10 of 11 plays. I think I tweeted they took their manhood, and it was time for them to call their mommies. And at that point, I looked like they had just steamrolled them, and they were not going to let them make them throw the ball. They were just going to just abuse them, overpower them. That's what Baltimore had done last week. And so they were able to do it, and they ran 39 times for 175 yards. And it's almost like they didn't want Jacoby Brissett to throw the ball, because he was terrible throwing the ball. And last time they played, he threw 326 yards and four touchdowns. So I think about midway through the third quarter, after that drive in which they just obliterated the Texans' front seven, I don't know what they did, but they were different defense. They played much better. And then, of course, they stopped Jacoby Brissett on the fourth down run after 6 yards, 1 yard short of a first down to secure the victory.
Yeah, how big was that moment with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter? It looked like forever until he finally took off, started to scamper toward that first down line, and then, as you say, they pull him down a yard short.
That was a big play by outside linebacker Brennan Scarlett, who had been duped on Brissett's 5-yard touchdown run. He bought the play fake, and Brissett scored around him, and Scarlett was able to pull him down. You know, Brissett, to say he scampered is putting it very favorably, because he's not the most mobile quarterback. He's a smart runner, and I think just about any other quarterback with a little more speed would have made it, but Scarlett was able to get him down with one hand, save the game, and then Will Fuller made a big catch on third down, allowed the Texans to run out the clock, and that was a big victory for the Texans, Amy.
Yeah, certainly one of the major advantages in this game for Houston, kind of tip the scales, is DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, the production with them, and Deshaun Watson. How much of a difference does it make when Fuller is back on the field?
As Bill O'Brien pointed out afterward, it opens up a lot of things on their offense, and Hopkins is one of the players it benefits. You know, they had five plays of at least 30 yards, four passes, and 33-yard run by Carlos Hyde. And what Hopkins was able to do down the field, except that blown coverage, and I'm guessing the blown coverage for the 35-yard touchdown was because the safety was worried about Fuller. And the corner, Desir, thought he had help with the safety. And so there was a miscommunication. If Fuller hadn't been on the field, they didn't have to worry about anybody else. And so he makes a big difference in the passing game. He also makes a big difference in a running game. Now New England comes in here with the best defense of the league. I can't wait to see how Bill Belichick will defend Fuller and Hopkins.
Everybody loves to see DeAndre Hopkins give the game ball to his mom or to another member of his family. And we've heard the story. What does DeAndre say about his relationship with his mom?
Well, ever since they drafted him in 2013, we've done stories on he and his mom and the special relationship they have and what happened to her getting acid thrown in her face and blinding her. But that really brought them closer together. And he gave one ball tonight after a touchdown to his mom and the other one to his sister. And if he'd had a third one, I don't know who he would have given it to, but probably a fan. But it's a really big deal to him. And I believe, Amy, they're making a movie out of it. And I asked Hopkins, I said, hey, who's playing the sports writer that's covered you the longest? I said, you know, I got a SAG card. He said, I'll put in a good word for you.
Well, who's going to play DeAndre Hopkins?
You know, that'll have to be somebody with some great hands. Maybe they'll hire Odell Beckham Jr. to play Hopkins.
Wouldn't that be funny? John McClain with us here from Houston after the Texans beat the Colts and take over first place in the AFC South. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Deshaun Watson continues to get smarter, great decision-making, and just as it turned into a really mature quarterback. When you kind of watch his progression over the first few years, John, where do you feel like he's made the biggest progress?
they all had a bad game across the board at Baltimore, including Watson, and I thought he was beyond that. I thought the team was beyond that, and I was not sure what team would show up for the Colts. I knew they wanted to win. They knew it was a big game, but you just don't know. Watson was able to bounce back, but Amy, their offense is so bad in the first quarter. They've only scored 23 points all year. There's only one team worse, and that's Washington with 17. Even in the Ravens game, it was 0-0 after the first quarter.
Right.
So they actually got a 3-0 lead in this game, and then once Watson settled down, you know, he ended up 298 yards. He averaged 9.9 yards per attempt. Brissett was 5.2. So he was able to throw it down the field, and a lot of that had to do with pass protection. It's strange, Amy, when they went to London to play Jacksonville, the Jaguars were coming off an 8-sack game, and they sacked him one time. Then they come to Baltimore. Baltimore has only 16 sacks all season. They get him 7 times. So the Colts, they only got him once. So when he gets time to throw, especially when he's got Fuller opposite Hopkins, he makes plays down the field.
I was going to ask you about the slow starts, because that's been something that's a pattern for this season. What do they say about how they come out of the gate?
Well, they've tried everything. They've tried rewriting the script. You know, they work on it. They know it. We ask them about it every day. We blast them, you know, saying that you're only better than Washington. How insulting is that?
Oh, gosh.
And they've been able, it's weird, they're 7-4 despite those slow starts. They had to come from behind today. I've seen them win a lot of games where they've had to come from behind to do it. They would love to play with a lead, but I don't think they would know what to do with a lead.
They prefer adversity, higher degree of difficulty?
That's the way it seems to be the mindset. And Watson is usually at his best when they're down, as he was. They were down in this game 17-10, scored the last 10 points. Watson looked really, really good. So I'm guessing he didn't have a Baltimore hangover because people worried about it. You know, what would be the residual effect of getting humiliated at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore?
Well, so then maybe the biggest area of growth for him as a starting quarterback in the NFL is his ability to be resilient and to bounce back from bad starts.
I think he's able to be. He didn't have a lot of those in college, but he was able to make a lot of big plays when it counted. He's very relaxed all the time. You never see him riled. He reminds me of Warren Moon. Warren was always just a picture of calm, no matter what kind of adversity they had on the field. And Watson is the same way. And he doesn't have a lot of bad games, and I don't think he's ever had two in a row.
John McClain from Houston, Houston Chronicle, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio following Thursday Night Football. It was good to see J.J. Watt pregame, and he did an interview on NFL Network and Fox, and he looks like he's in good spirits, and it's good to see him smile. However, he leaves a big void in that defense. So who sets the tone when you're down a guy like J.J. Watt?
Well, it used to have been Jadeveon Clowney, but he's not here anymore.
Right.
So their nose tackle, DJ Reader, who's having a great season, DJ is the leader up front. And they've got some other guys that are leaders, but they don't have anybody like Watt. They don't have anybody to get the quarterback. He was playing to run better than he's ever played. And so they miss him a lot. I mean, they've given up 175 yards rushing the last two games. And I think not having it in there, we always think of him as a pass rusher, but not having him in the run hurts them as well. And but it's the easiest injury he's ever had to come back from, a torn pec, not one of his wheels. He'll be back like last year when he had 16 sacks and made first team all pro again.
When you look at where they stand now at 7-4 and tops in the AFC South, I mean, it's pretty good for this point in the season, despite the inconsistencies. What would you say is the strength of this team, John?
I would say it's offense, not defense. They can't get the quarterback, and they struggle in coverage. They were missing 3 defensive backs, safety Justin Reed, cornerbacks Bradley Roby and Lonnie Johnson Jr., all of whom have started. and they still were able to limit Jacoby Brissett to 129 yards. But it's tough on those defensive backs when you can't get pressure on a quarterback. They don't want to blitz and leave them on the island, so they got to score. I was amazed that they could win a game like this tonight and only have to score 20 points with New England coming in, having the best defense in the league. A league high 6 defensive touchdowns. You know, Amy, I looked this up. The Patriots have only allowed 10 opponents to get in their red zone 13 times.
Wow.
And that's unbelievable. Plus, they're plus 18. Nobody else is more than plus 9. So, Texans are going to have to play a really good offensive game. Last two times they played the Patriots last 2 years, they've lost in Foxborough by 3-7. So, I'm eager to see if they can actually win a game, their second game in history over the Patriots. Because if they lose it and the Colts win, they're back to a first-place tie. And the Texans did not sweep the series. They split it. So these two teams, I think, are going to go down to the wire.
And yet everything that they want is still right in front of them there. They have the control of their own fate, and now they've got a couple extra days off. All right, you can follow John on Twitter, at @McLean_on_NFL. I'm glad this one did not end in a brawl. It didn't seem like it was going to happen between these two teams anyway.
They got a lot of respect for each other. They've done some talking in recent years, but it's a rivalry, and it's born out of respect. It's very physical. But I think these teams, they may not like each other, but they do respect each other.
John, it's always good to talk to you. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, too. Thank you very much for having me.
Always good to talk to John. Has such a great sense of humor. And I say this a lot of times about older athletes. Athletes who they're in touch with their own sports mortality. And so they take nothing for granted. But at the same time, they have kind of a grizzled wisdom to them. And also, they don't generally take crap, right? They've been around the block so long. They've seen it all. They've done it all. Whatever. You do what you have to do to survive, kind of a thing. And you don't really care as much what people think about you. And John McLean definitely fits the bill as a sports writer and always has really good stories as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. After the top of the hour, we're going to get to your calls. Other big story in football on Thursday. So it comes exactly a week after the brawl. We have the final appeals decisions announced. Marquise Pouncey will have his suspension reduced from 3 games to 2. And so he will not be on the field for the rematch between the Browns and the Steelers, of course. There was no way that was going to happen. And then James Thrash, who's the former NFL wide receiver himself, he was the one. And by the way, James Thrash doesn't just represent the NFL. He was chosen and agreed to by both the NFL as well as the Players Association. So the PA had to sign off on him being one of the appeals officers. Anyway, just so you know, he's not on the side of the NFL. He decided after hearing Myles Garrett's appeal that the suspension would not be shortened. And so Myles Garrett is still suspended indefinitely. Absolutely cannot return before this season is over or for any postseason games that Cleveland might participate in. And he will have to go before Roger Goodell and have a conversation with him and ask for reinstatement before he can play again. Now, we had talked to Jason Luck and Fora. We had talked to others around the NFL. I didn't hear anyone say they thought that Garrett's suspension would be reduced. Everybody pretty much expected that this was going to remain the same. I thought maybe we might see it with a finite number as opposed to an indefinite suspension, but that did not happen. Everything remains the same. In addition, he's been fined a hefty amount of money. And then on Thursday, we start to hear some of the details that went into his Wednesday appeal, including him accusing Mason Rudolph of using a racial slur when the two guys were tangled up last week. We'll get into that coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.